You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
Woo! Nobody knows where they might end up. Nobody knows.
Yeah. Oh. Selfie.
Fly,
fly, fly. That's the second verse.
We are ridiculous. Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of the Grey's Anatomy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Hello, 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 Jason J. Carter in the hot seat. Hi, ladies.
Hi, I'm Julie Parton.
And I'm Star Session, and I got a special guest to my right.
Jason Romrell.
That's right.
Yes, everyone. Our legal eagle is back. Jason, so glad to have you back in the hot seat with us tonight here at AfterBuzz.
Thank you.
You know, all week long, people on the blogs and online have been talking about what happened with Callie in court. Now, we know that was 2 weeks ago on the show, but it was such a heavy, hot subject and a really good show that people wanted to know what happened was legit.
With the fact that she threw the papers away at the very, very end.
Yes.
That's kind of like where it's a little sketchy.
It's gray, a little gray.
You know, what would have happened, what could have happened, and, you know, what would be her charges?
So, go ahead.
We do miss our Kelly, who is in Texas.
Yes, mm-hmm. We do.
But we have a fantastic fill-in tonight that is also going to answer some questions later.
Yes. I thought, why not have our resident legal eagle come in and set the people straight?
Set them straight.
So, Jason Romrell, Esquire, was Callie wrong for throwing away those papers? One, and is that maybe perjury, or, you know, what legal ramifications would come about if she was actually found out that she, if it was found out that she threw those away?
Well, throwing them away was a big problem for several reasons, but there's this principle in the law called spoliation of evidence.
Ooh,
spoliation. Yes.
They got creative.
So if you have evidence and you hide it, or like Hillary Clinton did way long ago, she at the Rose Law Firm, she shredded all these documents. Mm-hmm. You destroy the evidence, and the judge has a couple of choices. The judge has discretion to say, we know you threw something away, so we're going to tell the jury that they can infer that it was really bad. They can assume that you threw away something that was horrible, would have killed your case, and we're going to tell the jury that they can actually make those assumptions.
Wow.
The other thing is, some states have criminal penalties if you destroy evidence like that, so she could be prosecuted and she could go to jail.
I was hoping that like a janitor named like Romeo or Jesus would find the you know, in the garbage and be like, yo, we found this in the garbage, and then, you know, the whole thing comes back up.
The biggest shame of that whole part of that story, though, was the attorneys that were on the plaintiff's side. If they had done their job right and done the proper discovery, they would have found out about the letter. They would have found out about the history of this implant. They would have found out about infections.
Yeah, it's like the
deaths.
Research like stopped on that side.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like don't they have researchers that do that and are supposed to look into the case?
Was your judicial butt just burning with this, like, damn it, why didn't they figure that out?
Well, you know what I liked about it, though, is the principle, anytime you go to court, you can get really scientific and really technical and talk about all the details. But the real key to winning is making the jury and the judge like you.
God. Same thing in the industry.
So, I mean,
who you know.
It's not really
that's everyday
about the law.
Life.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna touch back on that a little bit later. Tonight's episode, I mean, Walking on the Moon, I think it was called. For the last three seasons, I mean, episodes, I'm sorry, I have not been walking on anything because it's been flat out boring except for last week. But tonight's episode was, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, a 5. And people have been tweeting about it all day, you know, all of our wonderful Twitter followers.
No, not a 5.
Alicia Harding, hi.
Okay, so I've been dying with excitement over these.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Redhead sisters.
Why?
I don't know. I knew they were going to be funny. I knew they were going to be just like April.
Yeah.
Although, I got to say, I thought we were getting the wedding tonight. I thought we would at least see the beginning of the wedding tonight.
The only thing I kept thinking about the redheads was, do the curtains match the carpet?
Oh my gosh.
I can tell you, like, almost 100% not all of them are redheads.
Yeah. That's not some roots.
Some roots.
Some roots. Okay, so you thought, Jules, you thought we were going to get the wedding
tonight. I thought we were at least going to get a glimpse of the dress, a glimpse of the venue. I was really stoked about that.
But we didn't get any of that.
None of it. We got the shower.
We got no Grey's magic tonight.
Well, the shower is definitely important.
We got some Grey's magic
tonight. The only magic that went down was when Meredith and Yang had their cat fight. Mine's bigger than yours. That's all that happened.
I don't know. There was magic at the very beginning of the episode with Shang Yang.
Ooh.
They're feeling each other.
I called it, though.
We all called it.
Okay. Everybody knew it was going to be awesome, but I just didn't expect it to be so fun.
It was a super swirl featuring Mochi tonight because she was all about the beginning. Mochi is a nice dessert you get at Yogurtland.
Yes, I know. I just can't believe you made that reference, but okay.
But so they start at the beginning, and like, I'm really into this relationship.
Shang Yang is something that hashtag Shang Yang, we're still using it. I love that they're together,
Me too.
But he has definitely grown up as well as just has balls now, if I can say that. Like, he's just really ballsy,
right. You
know, with the way he speaks to different doctors in the hospital and as well as how he speaks to Yang.
Sure.
You know, he's now like on her level.
He's very authoritative now. It's like Burke 2.0. But my younger
Burke was like above her level, yada yada yada. But I feel like now he's like went from intern to like now I'm like the man. I'm on the scene. Like I call the shots. I'm saying there's a live streaming. I'm saying you know what I mean. Like
when Meredith said he's aggressive and mean though, is he aggressive and mean because he's trying to emulate her or because he's
what's interesting. Sorry to cut you off. Is that Meredith doesn't know about this relationship.
Right.
She has no idea what's going on in Yang's life. So this is like a secret that still hasn't been revealed, and I feel like people are going to catch on very soon, which will be fun, but...
I feel like that conversation they had was interpreted wrong, but we have those conversations with friends or people or peers that we might have be in competition with or for whatever reason, it's like you misconstrue or because there's feelings there or there's whatever, maybe jealousy, intimidation.
Right.
They could say the cat is brown. What? You're saying I'm brown? What? It's always because they're two very competitive people. But getting back to Kepner in the shower, I have to say that every time they have a sibling on the show, the sibling always has to be annoying.
Isn't that life?
No.
Yes.
My siblings are not annoying.
That's what you do with siblings on TV, though.
Yeah.
You bring them in, and then they're the character that you love personified even that much more to the point that it drives you nuts.
Mm-hmm. Well, because, look, Derek and Nancy and all his sisters and Amelia... annoying. And then these three sisters, of course, they're so stuck in the backwoods of Ohio.
Of course they're going to be annoying. That's what was going to be hilarious about it.
Again, yeah.
They're from the South. They're annoying.
They're not from the South. They're from Ohio. I mean, they're from...
From Calville.
Yeah.
Who cares? They were from a farm. Okay. Period.
But, you know, I have to critique...
from a farm.
Girls! You know, I have to critique Grey's, though, because I do think that we see a lot of reoccurring themes throughout the seasons. It's always like, okay, when Yang and Meredith are working with the 3D printer valves and conduits, something's not going to fit. That's happened before so many times where they have this transplant, it's rejected, someone's going to die, VP, push three of Vicro, you know,
but that's going to be on any show you watch and that you fall in love with. Like, the stories are kind of always, when it goes into 10 seasons, things can repeat. And it's okay. I think it's okay that it repeats that something is going to break or doesn't fit. But I love the part that it was like kind of like an unspoken competition between the two. Like, they're in completely different rooms, didn't know these surgeries they knew the surgeries were happening, but they're doing their own thing, you know? And Yang was kind of bummed about hers not going so well. And then Meredith was super excited, and then it just kind of was the flip side.
Right. So
on both. It was the competition.
It was a super interesting parallel. Because Meredith and Christine are fighting constantly.
Right.
But then they also have these cases that ended up dueling for the media attention right. and the hospital attention.
Sure.
So they're doing them at the same time. The baby, where they're putting the valve in, and the sheep.
An actual human.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is more exciting. But at the same time, like, I think Meredith's surgery would have gotten attention if Christina's hadn't stolen its thunder.
Well, yeah, they've been playing that whole role of, like, Meredith really needs us to learn more about it, and it is a serious topic, but they keep throwing her, like, a fork and a sheep. So it's like, they're, like, kind of undermining her, like, knowledge about what's going on. But it's kind of funny. And then Yang seems to be having this pressing matter for needing it for a real human, and then, you know, well, she's kind of ending up on top.
The thing about it is, though, I think even if Yang's had gone really, really well and all the people were just focusing on that one, Meredith still gets the credit for this. She created a 3D right. printer I mean, to make body parts.
Yeah, well, she
didn't create it.
Well,
she rented it.
Right.
Aren't they the first ones to
build? It was a
Black
Friday sale at Best Buy.
I don't
aren't
know.
They the first ones to build body right. parts out of it,
yes,
though?
Yes, they were.
Okay.
And she had the realization that she could do this with this printer, remember?
Right.
But to me, I'm sorry, AfterBuzz, I think it's whack. It's like me saying I could make a person from, like, sugar. But, I mean, whatever. That's
but this is real science.
That's
real. It's really happening in the real world from what I've been reading. Like,
right.
it really is happening.
Yeah,
so
I know.
They're like, touching base on that.
Well, Grey's is really good about bringing actual real-life events to make the show more relevant.
That's why
and
we
love
I mean,
they pay millions of dollars for advisors every season, so they obviously got to be on point. But competition is a running theme in this season, because at the beginning of the episode we see Matthew and Avery talking and all of a sudden some dude gets dragged by a car.
I asked this a bunch of times. Why were they together in the first place?
I think they're in a relationship secretly.
No. Who? Why were Matthew
no.
and Avery?
I'm just kidding.
Why did Avery crash the brunch and where were they walking?
And what was he wearing?
Right? Well, no, the thing was, I guess he went to go get coffee and the brunch was there.
Right. And you
that happened. Then he was like, take the sisters to the hotel or whatever. And the sisters were like, no, we want to go to your hospital. And then that's when he was like, okay, well, I'm going to go to the car. And then Avery was also leaving to go back towards the hospital.
So they
and
weren't hanging out. It was
they
just
weren't hanging out. It was just
together.
Like by accident. So they were trying to have awkward conversation. And then that's when the tragedy happened with the tie in the
wrong
I was really hoping, and I don't hope for things like this often. And it's mostly Jason's role.
So we got to see the guy drag through with
no,
his tie.
No, I was hoping the guy would get dragged and then the meanie would get out and get hit. I thought he was going to get his for being so rude to everybody.
Sued.
Karma, don't worry. It'll come back to him.
Seriously.
He should get sued.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Don't hit him with a car. Hit him with a lawsuit.
What are the legal rules? That's so funny. But, okay, so we have to talk about Karev and his tragic life. His dad is back. James
Daddy.
Remar, so glad to see you off of Dexter, back on Grey's.
He just stumbles in trying to get himself clean. Apparently he's been trying to get himself clean since that bar incident.
But he's been trying to get himself clean, but apparently he was high as a kite.
No, I don't know. Okay, see, that was a little unclear. Maybe I missed it or something, but I don't know if he was just detoxing and this was like, he was actually really trying to get himself clean and
right.
his body was detoxing
was
and he
clear.
Came to the hospital.
Yeah, I think
right.
that's what it was. I
and
don't think he was on anything.
They didn't make it clear, but if he's coming in and he's like, he was adamant about what he was saying, that he wanted to stay clean, he didn't want to take the methadone, he didn't want to do anything to help wean him off of the drugs. But, so it sounds like, you know, he was just detoxing.
But you hit the nail on the head, Star, and Julie and Jason Romero Esquire. It wasn't clear, and that has been my issue with the writing and the way the show's been going lately. It's because, you know, previously, and After Buzzers, I'm sorry, I know I talk about the past because the Grays of yesteryear was so glorious. However, I do think that the stories are not... They're not, the puzzle's not fitting together seamlessly. It's like, it's like, you know how you have the puzzle where you can kind of make something fit sometimes, and it works, but naturally.
It's very, I mean, you said it. It's very choppy in its editing, and it's not flowing like a story, like one thing leading to another.
No.
Which is like the beauty of what Grey's usually is. It's like, once, even though they're in the same hospital and it's different storylines, somehow they all kind of connect.
Yeah, intriguing.
This week, yes, there was the theme of walking on the moon and doing above and beyond with different stories, but it was just kind of
flat
or choppy, or just didn't flow well. Their transitions weren't there.
The most I think the meat of the episode, I thought for me, was Bailey's situation with her OCD. And, you know, great guest star, Eliana Douglas. She's an indie producer. She's wonderful. Been in a bunch of movies. One called Grace My Heart. Awesome chick. But seeing Bailey go through, I mean, it's just this whole OCD thing could be easily taken care of by her taking the pill. And ladies, am I missing that the reason why she doesn't want to take the pills? Did we get that in a previous episode? Because they never talked about pills prior to tonight.
No, they haven't talked about pills or touching on it. And you were saying, like, use the mental therapy. Yeah,
that's not even the first step that they would take. Although, obviously, it's inhibiting her life and her work.
That's true.
So maybe it's come to that. But the thing about it is, anytime you go into that area, it's not just to treat OCD. They usually have to treat it like an art. They're having to treat epilepsy with the same pills that mm-hmm. they treat depression. And right. this probably was an antidepressant of some sort.
It was.
And so I could see her not wanting to do that. I mean, to take different steps or think that she could conquer this on her own. And antidepressants never come without side effects.
But I must say that I don't think it was really about the pill that she didn't want to take. I think she just didn't want to accept the fact that she has OCD.
Right. Yeah.
And so with that, with taking the pill is like accepting the fact. And she, you know, she didn't want to get help because she didn't accept the fact, you know. And so I think the talk with I still want to call him the chief, always. Yeah. But whatever. With Mr. Weber, Dr. Weber, you know, when they had that heart-to-heart moment at the end, that's when it was like, you know what? Sometimes people just need help, and they don't know how to accept it.
Right.
And that was her moment of accepting it.
So Richard's finally out of that hospital bed.
But still in the hospital.
But so annoying. Not doing surgery.
Still wandering around doing nothing but being the grandpa of the hospital.
Wearing the worst colors ever. And just like,
you,
it's like,
kids, why are y'all gathered here together?
Eating the food. He's like that guy. You're like, what does he do here? Well, once upon a time in his heyday, he was a surgical technician.
I mean, Weber is like now a character and a half. When he was like eating at the table and just throwing out like adjectives like beautiful, love it. Eating the food, I thought that was like
he's
hilarious.
Literally that family member that won't leave. He's just sticking around, going to places he's not invited.
Oh my
They're
gosh.
Like, go home. Nope, not going home.
Absolutely,
I'm going to crash parties.
Auntie Velma, why is she still here? It's 5 a.m.
But it was like, he left, he went home, he's back.
He's like, immediately.
You didn't even give me a moment to think about it. But
he did have a great, Yoda moment. Where he's like, I had to admit to myself that I was an alcoholic. That's why I'm here right now.
Because
I can't be home alone with my drink.
I get bored and I drink. And I have a drink. he drinks. But do you guys think that that's the end of Bailey's, the OCD? Do you think we're going to see more of that? Or do you think that she's fine? Maybe it's not going to be as intense. Because I wanted...
Here's what
I wanted to have happen. I wanted Bailey to lose it and, like, stab people in the...
And get crazy.
Yeah, like, get crunk.
Ooh, that would have been fun.
I mean, this little short chick just, like, slicing people up. I mean, she's a skilled surgeon. She could slice you up and put your parts in different places. It would have been off the hook.
I didn't even think of that.
And then line people up and be like, don't move him. You know what I mean? And then, like, counting your fingers and stuff.
It just turned into a scary movie so fast. I absolutely love it. But, like, honestly, like, I think the Bailey situation is going to go on for one more week just to finish out the season, whatever, and I'm kind of over it. So hopefully it'll be dead it next week. Like
dead it. I love you.
You know, like I took the pills and now I feel better and I'm back to surgery and we can move on.
But
I
would love Julie it. Julie said the side effects could be part of the.
I would love it if it's something that she continually deals with, but isn't necessarily a plot.
Right, I agree.
Because you know, for so long Owen had PTSD.
Well, he choked
really
out
really bad,
like,
and then and that's not even a thing there anymore. Sometimes I wish we'd see a glimpse of it. You know,
like, I got crazy
a car or him freaking out.
Car.
You know, I mean that's something you never fully get over. So I would love it if it was something we moved past, but at the same time, still was a part of her now.
I'm like tapping my fingers. I feel like bailing.
I just, out of curiosity, would you, if you had to have general surgery and you knew Bailey was your doctor and you knew her condition, would you let her operate on you?
No.
I mean, okay, counting her fingers and making sure her ornaments are in instruments are in order, I wouldn't mind that. But the fact where she would just go back in and recheck thing after thing after thing, leaving them open forever... You know, probably no. I'd want to make sure somebody was in there holding her accountable.
Oh, my God.
You're right. yeah, and just seeing Bailey being that vulnerable, she's never the afflicted one. Bailey's always the hero. Bailey's always the one who's strong and holding. I mean, some of her best monologues on the show have been in crisis, where she's like, you know, saving the world, saving people being shot. To now see her be that, but I would have much rather, it would have been more believable if she would have, I don't know, had like ovarian cancer or something like
oh my gosh.
I'm, because like, the reason why I'm saying that.
It's bad, but it's not bad enough.
Like Tyra Banks, you think you had it bad? I wore a chainsaw bikini. No, but.
Tyra Banks, you think you had it bad? I grew up like with chicken legs and a large forehead.
We were all broken.
Hashtag Tyra Banks.
Wait, so lawyer Jason, would you let her operate on you for the fact that you could sue her afterwards?
Yeah, is there legal ramifications for that?
Absolutely.
It's called loophole.
The hospital has vicarious liability, and in a lot of cases they would have vicarious liability for what the surgeons do. So I liked that part of the show where they wouldn't approve her for surgery until she was cleared by another physician with experience. So that's great for the hospital. Excellent. But suing the doctor is... Medical malpractice, here's an interesting statistic. There are about 200,000 deaths from medical malpractice every year. You know how many medical malpractice lawsuits are filed on average?
Like?
Between 15 and 20,000.
Wow.
So there's not nearly the same amount of lawsuits that come out of the people that are killed in the operating
room. I
speak for most of America when I say we've all wanted to sue someone at one point, looked into it, and been like, whoa, can't afford that.
Well, do you think it's a money thing, why people don't sue, or why do you think that is?
Well, in the medical malpractice area, every physician's going to have insurance.
Right.
And part of the obligation of the insurance provider is to provide the defense. And they do not want to set a precedent that, hey, if you sue us, we're going to settle. We're going to give you the easy money. They fight it, and it's really, really expensive. I mean, if you're not going to get a half a mil, an attorney's not going to take the case because it's too expensive.
Gotcha.
And it's probably the paperwork. It kicks half people out alone.
I know. But Bailey does it. It'll be done on point 5, 6, 7 times.
Oh my gosh. She'll go over and over and over again.
Like, wait, I didn't cross my T or dot my I. So, Cali in Arizona.
Obnoxious.
And then, can we just touch on Leah for a minute? How they try to have a tinge of, oh, I saw feelings for Arizona for you tonight, but it was not working. It was like, let that die.
I think it was funny how the other interns were coaching her to be normal. She's sitting there. Hello. They're like, are you okay? I'm dying inside. That was funny.
Yeah, it was a cute moment, but like when it comes to Leah, like that storyline is gonna come back.
You think?
Yeah.
Nobody wanted them together.
A threesome could be fun.
Nobody would have a threesome with the person that they're having an affair with.
Watch enough TV, hell no.
Enough TV, oh my gosh.
I mean, www.youtube.
Leah's just not, I mean, her character was like really strong for those few episodes.
I
want to see that come back again because I think she is a good actor, even though she was annoying towards the beginning of the season, right?
Yeah.
We all thought she was annoying, right?
She
got a little strong.
Right, and she was accessible. She revealed. When you become relatable. Hashtag the drama queen. You know what? Relate to us online. Go to iTunes, tell a friend, rate us, comment. We love to hear from you guys on YouTube. Any place you can, talk to us. Let us know if there's things we don't know about Grey's Anatomy. We like to be in the know and just get the scoop on the juicy, juicy tidbits that is Grey's Anatomy. Rate us on iTunes.
Join us on Twitter.
The
conversation just continues on. We've got people live tweeting as we speak, and they're just saying that there are just too many characters.
Right.
That's sort of what I was thinking, too. Yeah. You should have maybe three main stories an episode. They're trying to do 7 to 10 every single episode.
Yeah, it's hard to follow.
None of them rising above. They're all equally as strong, and so it's just too many.
Did anyone care about McDreamy's drama with girl? With
See? That's the thing. We almost forgot about that. And that was a cool story. The hand.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like, what happened?
the paralyzed woman.
There's too many.
They need to stop with all these clinical trials and get back to the drama. There needs to be people like, you know.
I do like the hand one, though. That was a great patient story.
And it could have been used for a different episode.
It just got drowned by April's shower.
Which was lame. I will say the husband's nostrils were on point, though, when the chick reached out to touch him. I mean, those nostrils were flaring like mutant style.
Yes.
So I mean, this lady could not move this arm that they had installed these trackers in her head to make
she
move,
she was like
right?
a transformer.
Yes, so she had this cool arm.
She looked, all I thought was...
Oh my gosh, that's horrible.
She couldn't move it, but she had the capability, and they couldn't figure out how to make her move it. And they realized she hadn't done anything for herself in so long she forgot how. She was only depending on her husband. That was kind of sweet.
Yeah, I guess that was the twist of that. I didn't take that away from that moment, but I guess...
No, that's what it was. She didn't know how to think to do something for herself because she'd been relying on her husband so long.
To do everything.
Oh. So right when he was there, it was just naturally, you're here, now I could do it.
It's the little nuggets we give you. It's the nuggets we give you.
Wow.
The hand
move. You're so observant. I totally missed that.
Right?
How could you guys miss that?
No, I knew it was definitely about the husband, but I didn't take the connection.
You guys were too much making fun of the husband's nostrils. Right? He's like this. And Star's like, John!
Really? I thought it was about the product placement of the water. That's why I was just like, they want to get that Aquafina shot because Pepsi's probably a sponsor or whatever.
Oh my God.
You guys really didn't get that.
Wow, Jill, you are so. I think your pregnant brain's making you more observant. You have like special powers now.
I think I'm just a girl with a good husband.
There you go. Oh,
not to sound cheesy, sweet. It's just how it is, though.
Okay.
You rely on your husband a lot when you're pregnant. Feed me.
Feed
me. It's literally like that every day.
I'm eating for two. No, but yeah, again, you hit the nail on the head. Jules, when you talk about these stories that could really be good, because the patient stories used to also intertwine with the doctors. The shooter. How many times do we have...
Don't bring that up. It gives me bad dreams.
That was
really does.
The brilliance of that storyline is because 6 episodes later, this guy that you forgot about is the one that came back and took it out in the hospital.
I still see him in my dreams. Can we not talk about
that
him?
That scared you that bad?
I had to sleep with the lights on that night.
It was the most talked
night.
About episode it for was like, weeks.
I remember
and I
it
woke
happening.
Up in the middle of the night being like, I'm a doctor. Was I a nurse or a doctor? Wait, which one survived?
The nurse. I
was a nurse.
Yeah, you weren't a surgeon.
That's I wasn't a
funny,
surgeon.
That
I was a
had
nurse.
That much impact on you guys. It didn't really to me. I was like, what are they doing? Did they really just bring in all of those people?
Well, when
from
they started
Seattle
shooting
Grace?
At point blank, that's when in the first 5 minutes of the show, I was like, turn on the lights. I couldn't do it.
The news talked about it, how graphic it was.
Too
and
much.
Sean, but they had to go, and that's what I'm talking about. Taking
let's
risks.
Do that, let's do that again.
Yes, someone please get shot in the head on Grey's
no.
Anatomy.
No, as long as there's never another plane crash.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
I couldn't deal with that for one
they
second.
They should get lost at sea.
Lost at sea. Anyways, back to this episode.
But you know what? I guess what we're saying is that there are fantastic patient cases. There's just too many stories
right.
per
exactly.
episode. And they're great. You guys probably have a lot of time. Spread them out, you know?
Yeah, but...
I don't know what I would have chosen this episode to keep and watch throw away, but some of it could have been more powerful if it had been given due diligence.
I agree, and I feel... Here's what I would like to see as far as Christina and Meredith. I think that now that the interns are here, we have this extra added element that we need to work in. Before, there was no interns. It was them. It was the residents and their Teddy and their superiors. So it wasn't as... like spread so thin, but I will say from tonight, you said if what I could keep or throw away, I would definitely keep the Meredith and Christina
fight
because
chit chat.
Because I do think you see, I say this every week, you see images and glimpses of Meredith being her mother, and she always never wanted to be like Ellis, but this the cold and pointed and strong and very heartless. When
that's
she,
not how...
You know, I that's what I get from
towards
it.
Christina?
Towards Christina.
Absolutely not. She went into that room kind of open-hearted and was just kind of like... She even like was trying to like have a conversation about Shane. She wasn't trying to pick a fight about Shane.
But it's
she
too,
was trying... She, you know, she was being... She was trying to be nice, no?
But it was too late for that, though.
No, you're right. What's happening with their relationship is that they've gotten to a point that they can't say anything without offending the other one on accident.
Exactly.
She wasn't trying to offend her at all about Shane.
Yeah.
Like, Christina heard things Meredith wasn't saying. That's just what they're doing to each other right mm-hmm. now. And I do still like it. I do. They're trying to salvage the relationship by walking into the room. And yet they're still
so mad. And she was like,
so
if you still need it, you still need the printer, just
go ahead.
Know.
No, you go ahead.
But it's the body language.
Just
that,
stop it.
Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but as hosts, we are trained to watch people's body language to see what they're thinking and what they're feeling.
Yeah.
So,
her body language is saying, like,
bitch, I'm over you.
That's no, the saying. Body language is like, this is awkward. This is awkward, this conversation that we're having, and I'm trying to be nice and just, like, talk to you as a normal normal friend and a normal doctor. And then, literally, Christina took it out of context, as well as Meredith did slip with saying... Shane was...
Is she... Why Shane has he changed? Is he trying to emulate
be like you?
Yeah.
Be like you. Yep.
I feel like that they're...
That was a slip.
But that was a slip, a Freudian slip, because she probably meant to be like, you're a mean and aggressive biatch. That's what she was trying to say. And I do feel, and maybe after...
You think she walked in that room to gloat? Because I don't think she did.
No, I don't
Her
think she...
Her sheep had died. The baby had lived. The sheep had died. She was just going in there.
What
she
I'm
was
saying,
trying
I
to
understand.
Move past.
Now there's a fight between all of us, and now we don't know how to talk
to
each other.
Did. Sandra Oh and Ella Pompeo, Shauna, devil. No, but
do you think Jason's trying to emulate you?
But I'm saying I do feel that.
Is that your like scary voice showing? Okay, go ahead.
I do feel that maybe Yang is past the point of no return. You come to a point where you can damage your relationship so much where it's like, you know what, you said... And it's not even that. It's like when you disregard the friendship altogether. It's just like, wow, we've been through so much and this is what you wanted to do. I thought I meant more to you than that. And I feel like Meredith has just been on her high horse because she's got the house, she's got the dude
with
the hair.
Oh my gosh, you
are
more...
She's got the baby. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I really feel like...
Agree to disagree.
You know what? Friendships go on the rocks, and the only way that you move past it is several awkward conversations until one time you hang out and it's back to normal. They're just not there yet.
Maybe if you're a girl.
What if you're a guy?
Girl just, fights are like ridiculous.
You just never talk again.
If you're a gay male, you don't talk.
Well, especially because they work together, they have to like work it out at one point or another.
Sure.
You know, because it's just like, who wants to go to work and be annoyed by someone every day?
Right. And, yeah, I get... Okay, fine.
Which brings me to my least favorite part of the episode.
Which was?
I did not like it when April fired her sisters and chose these three coworkers that she doesn't like any really at all in real life to be her bridesmaids. That's always been my pet peeve about this show. They would not choose each other as their bridesmaids.
Jason Michael Romero, Esquire, What is your view on family and that sort of thing? Would you, if you had brothers...
That's such a vague question. What's your view on family?
how would you have handled that situation?
When it comes to family, creating a family is a lot of fun. Julie can probably attest to that. But how would you handle that situation?
Julie, not me over here.
I have five siblings. So ooh. I know what the conflict is like, and I know how much you love them but really don't love them, or maybe how much you hate them but you really love them. Anyway, her point wasn't, these are my friends, I want these as my bridesmaids. It was, you guys are a pain in the ass, get out.
Right.
She was making a point to them, to her sisters.
She would never
suck.
Christina treats her as bad as the sisters.
No, but she should regret that choice, too.
She should never pick
but
her.
I felt what I got from that is that what she was in the monologue she gave to her sisters was that they didn't see her for who she was now. Those people that she chose to be her bridesmaids, the doctors, see Kepner for who she is now, an amazing trauma surgeon. They're still calling her Ducky, you know, all these things. Libby, Kimmy, and Alice, who really with the names, you know, but so
that was funny.
I mean, so I got that. I thought it was great. I would have fired my sisters too if they were being that stupid, because she's saying, I am this new person. I am capable of all these things. You guys still see me in the past, and these people see me for who I am now, and that means more to me than my family being here ridiculing me.
She was the pearl thong came out, and she was like, I've already had sex. Like, they were like, what is, does daddy know?
He has tasted the milk.
Does daddy know?
I get what you're saying. The sisters need to see her for who she is.
Right.
But that would never happen in real life.
Okay, but we're in Seattle.
Nobody would fire their sisters and choose their co-workers.
But she didn't choose the co-workers. It just was like, oh no, what am I going to do?
Bridesmaid dresses have been ordered for 6 months at this point. It just would never happen.
I was not my brother.
I've been a bridesmaid 11 times.
Oh my gosh.
You're from Oklahoma. They do that, Oklahoma.
You just, like, that would... I couldn't help but think that would never, ever happen.
Well,
no matter how horrible her sisters were.
Do you need bridesmaids?
No, she should have fired them flat out.
I do think, honestly, the Kepner wedding, the Mattner, I call Matt and April Mattner, I do think that their wedding is corny. It's just corny.
Well, although, you guys, what did I come up with earlier? Okay. Avery needs to be there, right? Mm-hmm. Matthew, him and Matthew had a little squabble. You should have waited for me. I actually was sort of with Avery on this one. Let him do the trach. Come on, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's like, it would mean a lot to April if you were there. What if instead of breaking up the wedding like we all think Avery's going to do, Avery ends up being her bridesmaids or her, like, her maid of honor because she realizes he's really my only best
friend.
That'd
be awesome. That honestly, I would appreciate
that.
I
thought the twist you were going to say was maybe Matt's going to be like, you should marry her and then hand them off.
No, I don't think that would happen.
No, that'd be weird.
I just, like,
hand them off.
That'd be weird.
All of us have been thinking this whole time that the wedding won't happen. But in that moment, what if she realizes my sisters don't get me, you co-workers don't get me, only you get me, Avery, and he ends up being your maid of honor or something.
Is there any chance that she's going to get back together with Avery before the wedding?
Yes, they are, and they're going to break up.
Nobody knows. You guys, that's just one thing I thought might happen with the way that the story went tonight.
She's not going down the aisle.
No, but they, okay, her real dad has been cast to walk her down the aisle.
Yeah. So they're going to walk and then she's going to run away.
It's like runaway bride.
You think?
Yeah, and then he's going to go, like, save her and be like, baby, now I told you.
At this point in time, I really don't know. I think she could go through with it.
Speaking of other, getting back on an earlier topic, we're talking about Karev and Joe.
Family issues.
That, you know, I don't, they're just so awkward to me. It's just not, it's not
believable. Karev and Joe are not, you don't think they're good together anymore?
I think, it's always him defending her. It's one of those filler storylines. I could do without it.
They both can be cut from this season.
I mean, or Karev.
Karev can stay, but he can just do something else.
You said that about somebody last week, too. You said that about April. Basically, you throw out a character
that I don't like in each episode.
Cut.
Cut.
You know, like,
she could be cut from the show.
Your contract is done.
Last week, too.
But am I right, guys?
Cutting them left and right. Casting couch over here.
It's almost like they just throw them in there for good. Like, okay, the dad coming in, we didn't need to see that. It's just... It's not working, you know?
The thing is, we didn't think the dad was coming back. We thought that storyline was dead, and we could have been fine without it. The fact that he did come back, and he's, like, having the same fight that he was having with Alex back then, is kind of weird that he's only stuck in that time frame. Like, why isn't he having, you know, like, why isn't he...
Because Alex is in front of his face. But did you guys notice that before he went crazy on Joe, he was sort of saying things like he was trying to take care of Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's been alone too long, or he's been outside too long. Where is he? Like I was hearing from him that he was feeling love towards the kid, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's how some of those relationships are, where, like, the parents all screwed up, but underneath, they really love their child. That's why they beat them. I know it sounds weird to me, but that's, you know, that I've seen that on TV before, so maybe that's the storyline they're trying to go with Alex. However, it doesn't change the fact that the storyline is, like...
unneeded.
The bow that it was wrapped up with last time was pretty.
Ugly. Yeah, it should have been like, oh, and he's gone, you met your dad, you're mad, deuces, you know? And poor Joe... Grey's Anatomy, makeup artist, no more bronzer. She looks freaking like a pumpkin.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, like, what kind of tan are you going to get in Seattle?
Right? She was like Miami sun-kissed. Yeah. Like, ridiculous.
No, she used to be pale and pasty.
Yeah.
Poor Joe. I did feel bad for her this episode.
Well, she
got hit in the head.
I was
like, be careful. Be careful. Remember, I was like, she needs to be careful because he is, like, neurotic a little bit and going through this, detox. He needs to be, like, held down.
You know who was throwing their power around tonight was Owen. I don't care what you think, we're having cameras. I don't care what you think, we're admitting him as a patient.
Yeah. Well, his storyline's boring, too. He can go,
he's
too.
He's so sexy.
This episode, he can go. He didn't need to be in it.
Yeah,
we're cutting scenes, because we're trying to help them out.
You said they could be cut from the show.
Now we're cutting scenes. Roxy at Roxy Shiru. She says, the wedding is going to be a disaster. I don't think the wedding will happen either. Smiley face. Yes, Roxy.
That's right. It's not happening.
I'm sure other people on Twitter are saying the same thing. Also, Ken213 says, if Meredith and Christina were still friends, that slip would have been a joke, but now it's a jab at Yang.
It's true.
Yeah. Boom.
She's
hashtag.
Just being
pow.
So sensitive.
Sensitive.
Man, I wish the wedding was tonight. I was so excited.
I know,
about
but
that.
I didn't see any previews for it, so I kept thinking wedding, but then I was like, no, there's no wedding.
I've just seen pictures and The wedding dress is a little disappointing.
Yeah, they're not Vera Wang.
She's a homebody kind of girl. I don't know what she I was thinking herself. Would
Tina
happen.
Tina Knowles originals. Beyonce's mom made her dress.
Stop it. Love that, though.
One of the things I did like, and I do got to hand it to Meredith for her words of wisdom, her inspiration, telling Edwards that, you know what, we're going to fail, and we're going to fail, and we're going to fail, and then when we finally succeed, we're going to be walking on the moon. Exactly. That was great.
She's like, that's what it looks like.
That's what progress
failure
looks like.
Failure after failure after failure.
And she's right.
Although it was sad morbid. When she's like, there's going to be dead sheep after dead sheep after dead sheep.
Yeah, that's where we're going to look right crying.
Oh, it was so cute when Stephanie was really attached to the sheep.
Yeah, and
that was weird.
And they got a kitchen knife, and so I was like, "What kind of
kitchen knife?
That was awful. That would never. Is that a surgical kitchen knife? Because that looked very like.
Is that like possible? Do they have those?
That was like KitchenAid. Like someone said, "Go have to give me a knife."
They didn't give it a real autopsy. She's like, "Hand me the Cutco."
Yeah.
And then we had another weird slow mo walking with Yang and Edwards, and they did the kid and play dance when they. What did they choreograph that victory dance?
Oh, Yang.
Is that really?
I thought that was cute.
Yeah, but when did they have time to like practice the choreography?
Do lawyers do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, when did they come up with that?
When it came with your, I don't know if you guys argue, have teams of lawyers.
The foot clapping.
Yeah, do you guys bank head bounce or like maybe like?
Wait, we need something like when something's really exciting, like Dougie, a good episode,
like Dougie.
Let's try air high fives across
one,
the table.
1, 2, 3. Boom.
Yeah.
Was that effective, guys?
No, that was an epic fail.
People on podcasts are like, that's anticlimactic.
That was an abject failure.
But so these parents of the baby, these parents annoyed me for some reason. She's like, it's a baby. It's a baby. We know it's a baby lady. But they just like, okay, but the thing worked, right? And then they had this, it looks like it's going to be a success when they really didn't know it. They walk in the hall, they celebrate together. They're having fun. This relationship might be more than just a, what's it called? May-December fling romance?
May-December. Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Why would they say May-December? Why do they have those months?
Oh, I don't know. December, you cuddle up, and May.
No,
like
it means an older person and a younger person.
Oh, you guys. I'm like springtime, like, fall in love.
September, February. It's so stupid.
Never heard of it.
Roxy also online says, prediction, hashtag prediction, Alex will reconcile with his dad, then he will die.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I thought the same thing
too. I actually do see some reconciliation with the dad happening.
Yeah, duh. Because how are we going to end the story? Kick him out again? Like
Alex, though, we know from having Sarah Drew on the show, that guy's never leaving this show. He has 5 or 6 kids at home.
Yeah.
So he's around to stay.
Yeah, he's a fertile mortal. But I will say that every time I see the Alex's dad, I think of Sex and the City because he was on Sex and the City, like, butt naked on the, you know, so I'm sorry. Just, you know, for reference to anymore.
I think of several things when I see that man. That's not one of them.
Yeah. Like.
Well, he was butt ass naked on Sex and the City.
I remember.
Okay, so you know what then? We got to give our scoring of tonight's episode. I'm going to say it was a 6. I guess I'll say it was
looks like after a heavy recap analysis, Jason has upped his analysis by one number. I don't like to give it numbers. I just am really sorely disappointed that there was no wedding tonight. I know it's coming next week, but
that's what
I wanted to happen.
Let it go, Julie. Let it go.
You guys, that's what was going to happen tonight, and it didn't. Well, so I feel equally as excited next week, but disappointed that it didn't go on this week.
Well, Shonda did tweet yesterday that she read, you know, that they finally edited the final copy of next week's episode, and it's supposed to be jaw-dropping, like, the way to send off for the winner. And Grey's winner finales are always like that. Jason Rommel Esquire.
If this was a Yelp review, I'd give it probably 2.5, maybe 3 stars, you know. It was you didn't send it back, but
it wasn't like
it
hit the
like,
spot.
I'm not going back there.
Star Sash?
For doing 1 out of 10, I would say it was like a 7 or an 8. Okay. It was definitely a filler episode that kind of is getting us ready for this season, this mid-season finale, which is going to happen with Kepner's wedding. Right. So, I mean, there was moments in there that was like, ooh, but nothing that was like, this was the best episode.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to concur with you. 7 or 8.
Bam.
But here's the thing. Next week is supposed to be Cray.
In the last 5 minutes of the episode.
And then we're off till the end of February.
Till February 27th.
Yeah, that's going to be a long...
It can't happen.
Break.
We better get our grades filled next week. Yeah, it better be good.
The last 5 minutes of the episode of grades are always littered with Target commercials. I mean, it's
so my gosh.
Let's move on to your predictions.
Ooh.
Finally. We haven't had that in weeks.
Even the lights. Wow.
/ predictions, news, and gossip. First of all, Julie said earlier that April Kepner, Sarah Drew's dad, is going to be on the show playing her father on the show.
They actually consulted him in last week's episode to ask how they should do the premarital counseling session. Because he's a real minister in life.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you got a double paycheck? Is that how that works?
Yeah, he's double dipping.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
But he's giving to the church.
That's right. 10%. Go on.
Yeah, that's the news and gossip for next week.
And what about your predictions?
My predictions are, you know, honestly, I don't have predictions anymore for Grey's because the storylines haven't been solid enough for me to be like, wow, this is going to happen. Or I haven't been as interested in to see what's going to happen because it's been all filler for me. So I zip it. No predictions tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about it.
Okay. I've said most of mine, but I'll sum them up. Alex and his dad, reconciliation. Shang Yang turns into more than just a fling for at least one of them. Oh, we didn't talk tonight about the Keller in Arizona, but I do think they may have found the key. Stop talking, be a couple.
Or have sex.
And, man, I was really set on this wedding not happening. And now I predict, I'm just going to go against the curve here and say she marries Matthew next week.
Okay.
I'm going to have to say that it better be better than this week. I mean, there's really not much of a prediction. Wow. I've said it throughout the episode, right. What I think is going to happen next week. So we'll see.
And Legal Eagle?
Weber's going to walk in on Ross and Yang. And that's going to kick off a series of crazy events, which ends up with Miranda being pregnant with Weber's child.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
Yeah. Everyone's,
you heard it here.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Everybody, somebody out there is like, me too. I think that too.
All right, you guys. There you have it for this week's episode of the Grey's Anatomy After Show. I'm Jason Carter. Find me on Twitter at JDC Forever and also online at the Say What Web Show.
I'm Julie Parton. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook at JULIEPARTIN.
And I'm Star Session. You can find me on Twitter at StarSession and at the Say What Web Show.
Jason Romrell, you can find me in court.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.
Thank you for watching AfterBuzz TV on YouTube. For more of your favorite after shows and interviews, subscribe to our channel here and be sure to share your opinion on the episode in the comment section below here. We'd love to see what you guys are buzzing about. Thanks again. Buzz you later.